Okay, I am back. First of all, a remark. The question as to how or why a technology investment influences information security management system negatively is a very, very good question. And I will repeat what I said because that's very, very important to understand. There is no natural law here saying that this has to be so. Rather, we are describing a particular case in a particular company where too much faith in technology investment, and because there are limited resources, resulted in neglecting information security management systems, so that this investment results in less good performance of that. This is the nice thing about making such models, that it elicits discussions. The very way that William asked this question surfaces issues that need to be debated and discussed. I can give you later an example that is not about information security, but that shows how such a causal loop model could have prevented a situation in, not in Mexico City, but in some other cities in the world, that led to very bad decisions and very bad consequences concerning car traffic. And you will see from the causal loop model that if it had been drawn in advance by the decision makers and discussed in advance, that they could have immediately understood that the solution they were implementing wouldn't work. So thanks to you for contributing to the discussion. And now, assuming that this is what happens in this particular company, let's look and revise the new loop. I saw that René has already suggested that it is reinforcing. Let's look at it again. Suppose there is more technology investment because of the decision to close the security gap. They invest more in technology. This has over time the consequence of making the performance of the information security management system less good. Less of this, because of the positive polarity, leads to less security, which increases the security gap, which forces more technology investment. So more leads to more, and to more, and to more. And this is a very interesting situation. In a situation which, that's my claim, very often is ignored with management security. And that is that some decisions, some interventions, some measures, some policies ultimately trigger consequences, new processes that over time compromise or even destroy the intended effect. They are unintended consequences. First, let's put it a loop name here. So again, select comment, click somewhere here, and see it is reinforcing, put R, and I propose calling it ISMS in the attention state. And the loop was clockwise, okay? So, because they are paying less attention to the management than to technology, the unintended consequence is that this is suffering. There are not enough resources, competence, and so on for everything, so too much of one thing, zero-sum game, will lead to less of the other. Again, this is our assumption that that's the way it happens in this company, but if William and you, René, were there, you will perhaps raise your hand and say, hey, wait a moment, we can prevent that, we can do this, allocate more resources and so on. But again, it's a question, are there resources there? because we have always limited resources, and the issue is how to use resources, how to partition them and prioritize so as to achieve the intended effect. But what we are learning from here is you have not only to consider technology, but the management as well. And that's too often forgotten, at least neglected or so on. So we have this loop here. So what should be done? Again, there are different possible solutions, but one possible solution, let me move this a little bit here, would be to define security policies, additional security policies, or strengthen the security policies. So that we are closely monitoring the performance and using that to monitor and improve the SMS. Now you see here this negative polarity here is confusing. It does belong to the external arrow, but it could be confused to that here. So here we should revise this and put it outside, so that it is clearly seen that it belongs to this one. Now as to the way this works. The more technology, the more we should care about the management. So this can be debated and discussed whether it goes plus or minus. But again, I make the assumption that the way this company should do it is to closely monitor the performance of the technology, and more technology will require also more and better agreement and integration with the management system. So that's why I put a plus there. Better monitoring of security policies should lead to a better performance of this, so I put a plus as well. And then we have a new loop. How does this loop go? Let's look at it. From here to here to here, and not here, but here. So the loop that is new is going here. We put the icon here in the meeting, and then it's clear it does not belong to the upper part. To this, only to this loop is possible. But before we do that, let's see how this loop actually behaves. Suppose technology performance improves, that leads to better security policies, better ISMS, better security, less gap, less technology investment, less technology integration, less technology performance, and less security policy. So an increase originally leads to a decrease. It is a balancing loop. So this balancing loop, B for balancing, and we could call it attention to security management. I abbreviate this a little bit. And it turned out to be clockwise. That's the way we draw it. But again, this is, we could have drawn it differently. And we improve this until we extend it until it can be left. So the unintended consequence of too much technology investment forces us to add some element of management. And we monitor that by the way the technology performs. And the more technology, the better we should handle security policies and so on as to improve this. That's the proposed solution, and that's something that you could draw for your company if there should be some discussion as to investing more in technology. Then you could produce such a diagram and elicit a discussion. Any comments, any questions as to this diagram? Let's save it. I don't know how to cause room. Here. Okay. So maybe you are having lunch or whatever, but okay, good. Yes, yes. William says that he agrees that the pluses make it confusing. Well, pluses and the minus and so on. So I would recommend as homework that you do this a couple of times with different diagrams. You will see later that I always emphasize in the exercises that you not only draw such a causal loop, but also that you walk it through the different loops and tell a story about it. And I know that these plus and minuses can be a bit confusing, and that means two things. First of all, you need to invest a little bit in becoming familiar with that so that it becomes automated. But second, when you are communicating such causal loop diagrams, be aware that your audience will be equally confused to begin with. So it's very important to emphasize and tell it several times, the plus and minus, especially because when you are walking around, let me go back to the diagram. When you are walking a diagram where you have minus, like this one here, the reinforcing. More technology investment leads to less ISMS. Less, because of the plus, means less. That's the confusing thing. But you have to say time and again, this plus and minus doesn't mean that it's more or less by itself. It means same direction. So more technology investment, since there's negative polarity, opposite direction, less ISMS. Less ISMS, because it's positive polarity, goes in the same direction, less security. Less security, there is a negative polarity, it goes in the opposite direction, more security gap. More security gap means more technology investment. And you are in a trap, because your decision to invest more in technology forces you to invest more in technology and more, while as long as you are neglecting the management. We will later see that this kind of causal loop diagram, which we will call an archetype, is an out-of-control archetype. We are trying to control something, security, but actually, because of the unintended consequences, you are out of control. There is a runoff loop, reinforcing loop, that is forcing you to do more and more of the same, and you are running against something that is compromising more and more your solution. This is extremely important for security management, and it is very neglected because people don't tend to think about the consequences of the consequences over time. So that's one of the big advantages of system dynamics models, that it forces your attention not only on your intended consequences, what you want to achieve, but the way they can trigger unintended consequences that will compromise what you are doing. Okay, with that, I would suggest that we stop the tutorial now, unless you, let me see if you have issues. It's okay if we now go to stop the tutorial. Later I can do the second part, which is about numerical simulation, and that I go back to the next lecture. Okay, I take your silence for agreement. So I stop sharing the application and go now to sharing files. And now we are up to this here. Wait a moment. Yes, it's okay. We are now, and here we have this. Yes, there we have it. So this lecture is modeling security with system archetypes and system dynamics. Again, let me repeat it. System archetypes, they are special cases of causal loop diagrams. Diagrams where we express causes and effects. and that always end up in a lot of loops. System archetypes have only three loops, namely the intended consequence of your decision, of your whatever you have triggered, the unintended consequence, and the solution. Now, in real life, when you implement a decision, that might lead to several unintended consequences. So think of system archetype as selecting the most important unintended consequence, and the solution as how you address this unintended consequence. In real life, we may have more complicated situations, but here we focus on the most important decision, the most important unintended consequence of the most important intended consequence of the decision, the most important unintended consequence, and how you mitigate the negative impact of that. Later, we see more extensive causal diagrams and simulations and so on. But for the time being, we stay to the archetypes. So you have already seen the point, and that is, we see that management makes decisions that very often, in addition to intended, you get non-intended consequences. And if you don't anticipate that and handle that, then you might end up with solutions that ultimately work against you. It's an issue of anticipating what may happen, because sometimes you can, out of the model, recognize better not do it in this way. And I will come back later to the case of the hoy no circula, Spanish for it won't drive today, the way the Mexican City tried to control traffic and traffic pollution. And the solution was catastrophic. And my claim is that if they had created a causal loop diagram, which actually can be drawn as an archetype, they would have immediately understood this is not going to work. So it is very important to consider not only intended but unintended consequences, and I will explain why system archetypes are good tools for that effect. And I will apply the system archetypes to security, but you will see there are references to many other areas. And another nice thing is the moment you have understood that there are only four different archetypes, then you will be able very quickly to build these models for different challenges. And you will, if you practice, of course. And that's a big advantage. The other thing is that even if they are simple models, they allow already to discuss possible security metrics indicators and also how they could be audited. And they allow to conduct a discussion in a group. You can use this to express your insights or make proposals and create a discussion. You can't invite the people to help create a diagram so that it becomes a causal diagram or an archetype that is owned for the whole group, rather than you being kind of the guru and say that's the way it is. Then we will also recognize that system archetypes are a first step when you are addressing complex challenges. You can use this as a point of entry and then later add more detail as necessary. And later on in the course, not in this lecture, we will use these archetypes and simulation models for exploring the risk landscape, for conducting what-if analysis with metrics, and to test management strategies. So, after this lecture, first of all, you will be able to master this method and be in the position to model this with intended and unintended consequences. You will also recognize that time delays are very important because they have the consequence of obscuring or hiding the unintended consequences. and they are responsible very often for bad security or for bad management, generally speaking, in their companies. And as I said several times, there are four system archetypes, no more, and you will see soon why. And therefore, if you master them, then you very quickly will, in problems, be able to see, oh, that's an out-of-control archetype, or it is an underachievement archetype, or a relative achievement or relative control archetype, and transfer insights from one domain to the other. And then they will help you search for indicators and for audits and so on. As I say, archetypes, they are typically first step for modeling. And finally, they open the door for quantitative system dynamics with the possibility of dealing with indicators, audits, quality improvement, and the impacts of misaligned incentives on information security. Okay? So the content of this lecture is, first I've introduced system archetypes. You got already through the tutorial, so to speak, surreptitiously, already a first archetype. You will see it in a moment. I will then start by speaking about a completely generic system archetype and discuss with you the importance of boundaries and look at the classification of the archetypes and how these boundaries tend to mask the unintended effects, to mask, to hide, to make it less apparent. And we will see several examples of archetypes applied to security management, and I will sketch the next step. And then the exercises and projects, mini projects connected with this first day, will ask you to develop system archetypes to some challenges. And they will also play a role in the paper that will grade your course. We will define together some case, and I will ask you to define security archetypes for that case and discuss the implications and maybe even create a little simulation model. Again, it's very important that you do the exercises and you interact with me and so on, because I suppose you are interested in for instance, in ski. Maybe you are sometimes watching the Norwegian teams are performing, but do you become a better guy at skiing by just watching television? No, you have to practice. And exactly same here, watching my lecture is like watching TV or attending Holmen Calling when it happens here, the competition, but you don't become a better on skiing or better shape, better form by just watching television or watching the team. So you need to do it yourself, and the same is here. So I started using system dynamics modeling in information security many years ago, and I had devised a book with several contributions, including the initial work that we did on insider threat in 2003. The book was called From Modeling to Management Security, and I got a technician at my institution to make this nice drawing expressing that security is as strong as the weakest link. And as I said before, one of the first consequences of my activities was I had a keynote in New York in 2003, and among the attendants there were people from Carnegie Mellon. They invited me there, and I had a tour to Carnegie Mellon, to SUNY Albany, to Syracuse, University of Syracuse, to Calgary, and finally to MIT, where I gave guest lectures. And as a consequence of this, the CERT Coordination Center and Software Engineering Institute at Carnegie Mellon invited us to conduct a group model building workshop the year after in 2004, where we had representatives from Europe, from the Spanish university that are our partners, Sariegi was there, it was myself. Johannes Wieck was there as well, the guy who later did the CERT. and SUNY Albany was there. Sandia National Lab was there from Albuquerque, and Worcester Polytechnic Institute was there. And then CERT adopted this method of system dynamic simulation, and they have used that for models and insider threat and for workshops and so on and so on. So here's a nice book, which you might inspect. Don Capelli and Andrew Moore were there in 2003 with us. Randall came later. So the rationale for using system archetypes is that they are classifying structures that happen time and again, because they lead to generic patterns of behavior over time, and they tend to be counterintuitive. They tend to behave differently as we would expect with unaided intuition. What we represent there, they are management or something, in our case security. So actions that we take to manage something, and the unintended reactions or consequences, and also with accounting that very often the consequences are time delayed. It can be matters of days, weeks, even months, even years. And the longer the time delaying is, the less transparent is what is happening. Imagine something that you do doesn't have consequences until 5 years from now. Would you connect what you did today with what happens 5 years? Normally you don't. And there are situations where indeed the consequences show up, the unintended consequences show up many years later, even decades later. There are even historical consequences where the worst consequences, historical experiences, where the worst consequences appear hundreds of years afterwards. So we have a very, very complex systems in nature, in the world. But the important thing about systems archetypes is because they are the same in different domains. Once you master them in one domain, you can very quickly transfer to the others. They are isomorphic, which means equally shaped, and they are therefore very powerful when mastering the complexity of dynamic systems. Now, they became very popular, these archetypes, when Peter Singer from MIT, from the System Dynamics Group of MIT, wrote a book which was called The Fifth Discipline in 1990. It has been translated to Norwegian, the femte discipline as well, and to many other languages, and it's sold by the millions. It's sold by the millions. And there were a lot of archetypes that appeared in the book with very interesting names: limits to growth, shifting the burning. Limits to growth, we will meet in information security as well. When you are taking decisions, attending to improve something, and then there is something that stops the growth because of unintended consequences. Shifting the burden is about, instead of losing the right problem, you are losing another problem, curing the symptoms rather than the causes of the symptoms. Eroding goals happens very often, especially in quality improvement, where you have some goal, and then over time you lower the targets and targets, in this sense solving the problem, but not really, because you are solving a less ambitious problem. Escalation, arm race, you have that in security, of course, with the intruders and so on. Success to the successful expresses that if you give more resources to some sector or some problem, very often because of the trade-off, you are giving less to the other. So actually what you are causing is a zero-sum gain. You are gaining in the one, losing in the other. Fixes that fail, there are often solutions that, because of the unintended consequences, will fail over time. Tragedy of the commons, that's also a very interesting situation where too many people using a common resource lead to the abuse of the resource. This happens in security as well. Growth underinvestment, that happens very often in connection with security. In fact, we will see soon an archetype to that aspect. But the interesting thing is all these colorful names in reality can be condensed to just four possible structures. It was Stephen Wolstenholme who in 2003 wrote an article showing that all the existing archetypes could be described as consisting of an archetype of two feedback loops. He called it the problem archetype. And a third loop, he called it the solution, to mitigate the unintended consequence. And he showed that all the existing archetypes could be expressed as either one of these four that he called underachievement, out of control, relative achievement, and relative control. And then he proposed for each of these four the solution action. So let's start with a totally generic system archetype. Forget about the polarities and consider how we handle management actions. A management action is to influence some outcome. And depending on how the outcome performs, you will change the action. So you have a feedback here, and that is the intended consequence feedback loop. But in complex systems, there are always, always, always unintended consequences. In fact, I would like to show you a cartoon later as to this, but I will show that. Remember, there are always unintended consequences in complex systems because the consequences propagate to chains of causes and effects. So this outcome will trigger some reaction in the system, and this system will affect the outcome in some way. And that's the unintended consequence loop. By the way, here you see an example that you can draw the loop counterclockwise and the other loop clockwise. It's up to you. Now, Wolstenholme makes a strong point in that the unintended consequence very often is difficult to see. And he says there are boundaries that make it difficult to see for those who take the action that they are unintended consequences. And if you want to address the problem, then you need to find out what is actually hiding or masking or making it difficult to see the unintended consequence. So part of the issue is working with the boundaries that are hiding the consequences and making them transparent. And then the solution to this problem archetype is to devise the action so that it not only influences the outcome, but also influences the system reaction. And then there are typically delays. They can be here, there, and there. So don't take this as a definite that there's only delay here. There can be delay somewhere else. And then we have three feedback loops. The intended consequence feedback loop, the unintended consequence feedback loop, and the solution feedback loop. And in fact, if you look at the tutorial, you may recall that we started with the intended consequence feedback loop. Then I show you there is an unintended consequence. And then we discuss how to address, how to mitigate the unintended consequence with a solution. Okay, so far, this is completely generic. We are using terms like action, outcome, system, reaction. And action could be anything, depending on the problem, the outcome again, and so on. So this is at the highest level. And also, we haven't put polarities. At the moment we introduce polarities, we will see we generate four possible archetypes. Any questions, any remarks? Okay, no remarks, so we continue. We have already seen feedback loops. So we have a feedback loops when the consequences propagate and close. How many elements you put in the feedback loop depends on several circumstances. Sometimes you just take big, you stride with big steps and just put two elements. That's the minimum you have. Sometimes you put more elements in between to make it easier to trace the consequences. So a feedback loop can have as the minimum two, and otherwise as many as you like. But of course, too many makes it less easy to understand. So here you have an example. Companies very often invest to get throughput. And throughput is a measure of what a company is interested in achieving. Ultimately, it's financial gain, but this throughput can be measured, for instance, in the case of Statoil, in barrels of oil sold, or whatever. In the case of other companies, a service company could be number of services done satisfactorily, and so on. But ultimately, this throughput translates to resources that can be reinvested. And you could say any company existing for a while will work this way, that they are making decisions as to invest resources to achieve throughput, and then through the gain from the throughput, they can reinvest and so on and so on. Now, what happens very often is, because again of trade-offs, the how much you allocate to throughput determines how much you can allocate to security in terms not only of resources, resources but also attention and so on and so on. So there you have another one here. Now, again with the polarities, so how would investment affect throughput? The more resources you apply to achieving throughput, other thing being equal, the more throughput you get. So you have a positive polarity. And the more throughput you get, the more you can reinvest. So you have again positive polarity. So this reinforcing, this loop is reinforcing, and we could call it focus on growth, which is very what very often happens in companies. Now, again, it could happen that because of overemphasis on growth, that security is in the attention shade, and with some delay, security will suffer, which again, with some delay, will lead to time downs through security incidents and so on. So that will affect throughput. More throughput, less security. Less security, less throughput. That's the what this feedback loop is expressing. Again, assuming that that's the way the organization performs, that they have overemphasis in investment for achieving growth, and that because as a consequence, security is in the attention shade and gets less resources that it should have been done for optimal performance. Now, after recognizing that feedback loops are either reinforcing or balancing, you have a look at the generic archetype. We have a problem archetype with two loops. Sorry. The problem archetype has the intended consequence feedback loop and the unintended consequence feedback loop. Each of the two loops can have two, can be of two kinds, reinforcing or balancing. Since we have two loops and two possibilities, two times two is four. So the consequence of this is there are only four possible problem archetypes. Now, at this time, you could do this exercise, which is about walking the loops. You have done something similar before. So, if you like, you can go to slide 11 and walk through them to convince yourself that they are reinforcing. So, more investment, more throughput, more throughput, more investment. Less investment, less throughput. Less throughput, less investment. So, again, the polarity means equal direction. And here, more throughput, less security, less security, less throughput. So a change to more leads to less later. Assume now less throughput, that will, according to this logic, lead to more security to more throughput. So you have in both cases that a change in one direction triggers a change in the opposite direction at the end, which is the balancing one. So for you and for the other students who will later attend the recording, I recommend you to do these exercises several times until they really are automated and you don't have problems any longer with positive and negative polarities. Any questions or comments? Okay, seems it's going well. So, go back to the boundaries. That was indicated by a line going through the unintended consequence loop. How do these boundaries act? Well, there are a lot of boundaries that can have influences as the way how the unintended consequences remain hidden, or at least partially hidden, and so on. There are physical boundaries between organizations in its environment. There are typically also boundaries within the organization, and they can be due to accounting, to different responsibilities of managers, even different understandings that people see situations differently. And then if you don't communicate with those who have the insight, possible consequences, unintended consequences, then you don't see that. But also, as I said before, if there are very strong time delays, so that the unintended consequences doesn't show up immediately, that makes it sort of difficult to recognize. So it's very important when dealing with management of security, or for that matter with managing by businesses, to recognize that there are barriers, that there are boundaries. Here I put barriers, but I mean by them the same as boundaries. And see that they are transparent. We need them because they allow the structure to structure the organization in parts that functioning well, but they shouldn't be hidden. They shouldn't be non-transparent. They should be visible across, so that we can understand what is going on, at least at the high level, in other sectors. So, again, back to the possible archetypes. Since a problem archetype has two feedback loops, and each feedback loop can be reinforcing or balancing, 2 times 2 is 4 possibilities. And Wolstenholme, who proposed this classification, he had to simplify some complex archetypes that have too many loops and show that it was always possible to simplify the intended and unintended consequence. He proposed to call the archetypes where the intended outcome is reinforcing, more achievement, and the unintended result is a balancing loop that compromises the achievement. He called this underachievement, where the intended achievement fails to be realized owing to the compromising balancing loop. Then you have the out-of-control archetype, where something needs to be controlled. For instance, in the tutorial, we wanted to control security. We put a higher target for security and to achieve that. The intended control fails to be realized because a reinforcing loop shows up as unintended consequence that goes against what you want to achieve. Then you have the relative achievement, where the intended achievement, reinforcing growth, is only gained at the expense of the other. So it is a zero-sum game. And there you have 2 reinforcing loops opposing each other. And then finally, the relative control archetype, where the intended control is only gained at the expense of others, again a zero-sum game, where the intended outcome, which is balancing to control something, leads to an opposing control that is compromising what you want to achieve. So you have 4 possibilities, RB, BR, RR, BB. And now, in the rest of the lecture, we will look at these archetypes and we will look